That when I got saved, He justified me, right? Just as if I'd never sinned. And I'm thankful that my sins have been forgiven. And now He's in the process of sanctifying me. And, well, that's a hard job. I'm glad that God is all-powerful and can do that. One day we'll be glorified. I'm looking forward to the day that the Bible says that in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, the last trump will be changed. And I'm looking forward to this vile body being changed into the glorified body. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and began reading in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1. This morning, just a simple subject, topic, simply the name of Jesus. Amen. The title, the name of Jesus. That's for Brother Ross's benefit. The name of Jesus. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a fair man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, our text this morning, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the time we have to come and to gather around your word. We pray, Lord, as we preach this morning, that you'd hide me behind the cross, that we would again see the name of Jesus in a fuller meaning. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus. The name Jesus means Savior. And I mentioned a while ago that the name Christ means anointed one or Messiah. The name Lord means boss. I'm glad He's not only my Savior, but He's my boss. Right? When I got saved, He became my boss. I had one general, and I just switched it out for a new general. By the way, the new general's a lot better than the old one. I was a slave to him, to Satan. Now I'm a servant of God. Amen? I know I'm going to get way off, but I just want to point out that my motivation for serving God is so much different than my motivation as a lost person was. And now we'll get into that in a moment. But Jesus means Savior. The name Jesus, His name, has brought much controversy here in the last few years, especially the last 10 years or 20 years, in that we see even city councils and others who have dropped their prayers before city council meetings and will leave off the name Jesus in the prayer. It's okay to pray to God, but when you pray in Jesus' name at the end, that's when it becomes controversial. You can pray, you know, our Heavenly Father even, and mention the Heavenly Father, or mention God, Jehovah, and most of the time you're fine. But it's when you mention the name Jesus that you step off into the controversial political correctness going on today. But let me tell you, the name Jesus is important. The name Jesus is important. The Bible says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. In other words, we as Christians ought to pray in Jesus' name. Why is that? Why do we as Christians pray in Jesus' name? Well, because He's our mediator. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, He is my mediator. He's the one who's gone for me to God. He is the one who spans the chasm, who spans that chasm between me and God. He's the one, as the song said a moment ago, that reunites mankind with God. It is Jesus Christ. If I'm here and a part of the Adamic race, part of that fallen race which Adam plunges into sin, and God's family is over here, the family of God, and become a part of and be a son of God, how do I get from the Adamic race, how do I get from being under the penalty of sin? How do I get from being lost and undone and on my way to hell? How do I get from there and over here into the family of God? How do I do that? I do it through Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who brought reconciliation between God and man. He reconciled us because we were in enmity with God, because we have sin. Now, this enmity that we express that God that we have with God is reconciled through Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that reunites us to God. The Bible says that once we get saved and once we're justified, once our sins are forgiven, that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. That He is there at the throne room of God, going to God on our behalf. Amen. He is there on our behalf. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So when we pray to God, we pray through Jesus. All right? So understand, I know it's been a while since we maybe covered this in detail, but when I pray to God, when I pray to my Heavenly Father, I am praying because of what Jesus did on Calvary, that my prayers are even getting to God. It's through Jesus Christ that God is receiving my prayers, if you would. And some again, I think because I was raised in church, sometimes we kind of forget, not forget, but we take for granted that everybody understands that it's Jesus Christ by which our prayers are answered. It's Jesus Christ by which our prayers are heard by the living God. That's why when we sin as Christians, when we do wrong as a Christian, that when that fellowship is broken, that God says He doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner. Because when our fellowship was broken, not we don't lose our salvation once we're saved, but we can't lose that fellowship. And therefore, if you would, our sin blocks our prayer to God because our fellowship with God has been broken because we are at odds again with the mediator. Right? We need to get right with God. We need to get our sins forgiven so that we would have that fellowship with God that we so richly need and are blessed by. So Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. The Bible makes that very clear, the man Christ Jesus. And therefore, we pray in Jesus' name. So to pray and not pray in Jesus' name, per se, is not to pray at all. That's really what it comes down to. I want God to hear my prayers. I'm praying because of what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. So for me, it's not a controversy at all. Jesus Christ is my mediator. Have I said that yet? Jesus Christ is the mediator. Jesus Christ, again, born into a humble home, born into a carpenter's home, not born into a king's home, not born into a queen's home, but born into Joseph's house, humble home. Jesus Christ, the name Jesus means Savior. That name brings hope. Amen. That name dispels fear. That name means Savior. By the way, one day He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day He will rule and reign for all eternity, and I'm looking forward to that day. The name Jesus was given to Him by His Father, a name from heaven. It's the best name for Him because it was given to Him by God. By the way, He knew Him. God knew His Son. They had dwelt in eternity past for all eternity. They had sweet communion, fellowship in eternity past. Not only is it the best name given to Him by God, but it's the right name. Jesus. The right name in that it means Savior. That's what He came to do. God knew the reason for His name. Amen? Amen. He came to, and it says very clearly, it says, "And He shall bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save." You might want to underline the word Jesus, the name Jesus, and underline the word save. That's what it means. Save. Jesus means Savior. "For He shall save His people from their sins." He is our Savior. The meaning of the word save is deliverer. Deliverer. The word Jesus, in turn, can mean and would mean deliverer. It also implies, or not implies, but a definition is to preserve or to keep. So as a Savior, He is there to deliver us and to keep us, to preserve us. I'm glad that I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, the comparison or the name in the Old Testament, I'm going to dwell on this a little more in a moment. The name in the Old Testament, Joshua, means, is the same name as Jesus. It's the same name. It means Jehovah Savior. Everybody hang with me now. Joshua was a deliverer. Joshua was a Savior. All right? So Moses went into Egypt, and there God used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. 2 or 3 million Israelites who were in bondage, who were enslaved, who were being beaten and oppressed. Those Israelites cried out to God, and God heard their cry. Aren't you glad He hears our cries? Amen? And God heard their cry, and God sent them a deliverer. God sent them Moses. And Moses went into Egypt again, said, Pharaoh, let my people go. Everybody's seen the movie, Charlton Heston movie, right? And I think there's a new one, several other new ones. But Charlton Heston's, that's the best one. Whatever you may think. I thought the special effects are amazing. Especially now that you look at them. Anyway, just kidding. But Moses is the one who brings them out. And God uses Moses in a mighty way. And God sends great plagues upon Egypt. And God shows his how powerful He is. And God shows how great He is, not only to the Israelites, but to the Egyptians. And God brings them out. The Bible describes God bringing them out on eagle's wings. And there He cares for them and nurtures them. Opens the Red Sea. I mean, does some mighty things. By the way, I always remind you, when He opened the Red Sea, parted the waters, that parting of the waters would have been at least a mile wide. Sometimes we think it's like a little narrow path. Would have been at least a mile wide because it says they went across over the night and there was 2 or 3 million of it. Would have been a big parting of the sea. So God just did some miraculous things. And God brought them to Mount Sinai, provided for them water out of a rock, honey out of a rock, oil out of a rock. God provided them bread in the morning, manna. God provided them quail in the evening. God provided everything they needed for 40 years. The Bible says their shoes didn't even wear out. Amen. Their clothes didn't wear out. I mean, God did a great thing. Now, because of Moses' sin, Moses was not allowed to bring them into the promised land. The land that Abraham had left over 400 years earlier. The land that was promised to the Israelites. Canaan land. The land of promise. The land of Israel. Who led them over? Jordan. Joshua. Who delivered them, if you would, there at Jericho? I know God did, but God used Joshua as their deliverer. Their Savior. And I don't have time to develop the theme, but what Moses could not do, Moses is a picture of the law, what the law could not do, law cannot save us, keeping and doing good works cannot save us, what Moses could not do, Joshua could. Amen. The Savior. He, in turn, went over the River Jordan, and God used him again in a mighty way to deliver physically His people there in Canaan from their enemies. Joshua. Joshua, again, was a deliverer. Gideon was a deliverer. David was a deliverer, physically saving the people of Israel from their enemies. We think about the name Jesus. It does have to include verse 23, where it says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Who being interpreted, it's God with us. And Joseph being raised from sleep, so forth, God with us. God in the flesh. I just want to make again very clear. During this Christmas season, that we as Christians are to be reminded that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Jesus said to that crowd one day, before Abraham was, I am. And when He made that statement, they tried to stone Him. And this Bible makes it very clear, they tried to stone Him because He claimed to be God. He claimed to be God because he was claiming to be God. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. 1 John 1:14, 1 Timothy 3:16. You can go on and on. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Over and over again, we see it made very evident and clear that Jesus Christ was indeed God. That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and these three are one. You say, preacher, that's polytheism. That's the worship of many gods. No, it's not. He says these three are one. It's one God. Jehovah God. Jehovah God expresses himself or gives himself to us by way of his Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. You say, I still don't quite understand it. I don't either. Right? The Trinity. The Trinity is hard to understand intellectually. But see, I don't have to understand it intellectually. I don't have to have reason to reason it out. I have faith to do that. The Bible says it, I don't even have to believe it. The Bible says it, that settles it. The Bible, over and over and over again, makes it very clear that a Trinity does exist, that God is triune. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he was God in the flesh. How do we know that? We know that through, again, those verses I just quoted a while ago. Even Timothy says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Just can't get around those verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, capital W-O-R-D, was God. It's very clear, very clear. God in the Emmanuel, God with us. When Mary picked up her son, she picked up, if you would, God in the flesh. Not if you would. That's what she did. I know we all like that song, Mary, Did You Know? And it is a good song. I'm not. Every year I say the same thing. Mary, did you know that your baby boy, I'm going to tell you, I believe she knew more than we give her credit for. And the song's fine. We'll probably hear it sung in the next few weeks. But I believe she understood. She held in her hand. She knew that he was going to be the Messiah. And surely because of that, she knew the Old Testament verses. She knew that she held in her hand God in the flesh, her arms. I've dwelt a long time on this, but it's important. Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins. His people, save our Savior. Not only was it a name given to him by God, but this was a common name. By that I mean, in the time that which Jesus Christ lived, this name was used commonly. I want to go into this a little more, but the name Jesus does not mean he was just a prophet. He was not just a leader. He was not just a teacher. He was not just a good man. He was not just a good example. But he was Jesus. He was all those things. He was a prophet and a leader, a teacher, a good man, a good example. But he was Savior primarily. He was Savior first of all. He came to redeem us by shedding his blood on Calvary. He came to save sinners. In the time of Christ, names meant something. Again, there are many names in the Bible given for Jesus Christ, at least 500 that are given for God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just read some of this to you. It says, I heard a man who named his child Dora simply because a rich kinsman had promised to give the child a rich gift if he were called by that name. Had the father inquired, he would have learned that Dora is an abbreviated form of Theodora, which means the gift of God. Again, Henry is a name common enough. It means home